Whoever did that, thanks. I thought maybe I'd put the wrong title up on the screen. There is... Is it up there now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have eyes back here, so thank you for helping me. That's the right title. Okay, look at it, please. Fallen Angels Judged. I wrote Edie and told her that I had made a mistake, and it was the first mistake I ever had ever made. She wrote back and said, if you'll check the bulletin material you sent to me, you misspelled judge. Now, what do you think about a secretary like that? It was a typographical error. I spelled judge, J-U-D-D-D-D-G-E-D, or whatever it was. You're going to remember now that here's the title for today. Fallen Angels Judged, not Second Advent, Second Death, and Eternal Loss. I don't think I've ever started a service like this. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. Matthew 4, 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, 4. 1 John 5:11, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His tracks. Proverbs 5:21. Will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 14 and 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 and following. We spent a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing the importance of being in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ as we study His magnificent Word. In our journey through the Word of God, we have come now to Revelation, the last verses of the 20th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. Last Wednesday night we studied verse 12. Today we study 13, 14, and 15. May we pause for a moment of prayer before we begin our scripture reading in our study. Father, we're thankful that you bless us all so richly. We're the recipients of your grace in every area of life. We're thankful for salvation grace. We're thankful for the grace that you provide for us every single day that we live, so that we can have a fruitful life, a victorious life, a life of joy and peace and happiness. We realize that you've given us some time on the earth, and the time that we have is God-given. And so help us to appreciate the fact that we have this time for the purpose of receiving the communication of your word, which makes it possible for us to have the thinking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand how important it is to focus our attention upon things that are eternal, that we may be able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint, not from a horizontal human viewpoint. Thank you for every blessing. We ask especially that you'll bless those who have burdens and trials and tests and illness today, that you'll give grace and strength to each one. And we thank you over and over again that we are privileged individuals. We have opportunity now to follow the teachings of your wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, 13, 14, and 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to pay close attention to the information that is shared today on each of these verses. We look first of all at Revelation 20, verse 13. The fallen angels are judged. The verse of Scripture says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." The word sea is the word thalassa, T-H-A-L-A-S-S-A. I put this verse up here for you in English, and I put it also in the Greek. The word sea is the word thalassa, T-H-A-L-A-S-S-A, which means lake. We find that in chapter 20, verse 3. We find that also revealed in Job chapter 38, verse 8. In the Hebrew of the Job passage, it indicates that there are some doors, sea doors, in the bottomless pit. I want you to understand that when I came to this, I have to inform you that there are many things that I do not understand. One of the things that I fully didn't understand was when I came to this passage of Job chapter 38, verse 8, and discovered that in the Hebrew language, the passage indicates that there are doors, sea doors, in the bottomless pit. The sea is a reference to the place where the fallen angels are located. And this, of course, is revealed to us in the sixth verse of the book of Jude, also is presented to us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. In those verses of Scripture, we find that they depict that all fallen angels will be in the lake of fire. It's amazing to me when I think in terms of lake, I think in terms of water, and I think in terms of the various places where it's possible to go down into that water. And so when I look at verse 6 of Jude, and when I look at Matthew 25:41, it depicts that all fallen angels will be in this lake of fire. The Scripture says then, "And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them." We're going to pause for a few moments and let you think about that when it says death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. Before you continue to read what I have on the screen for you today, let me remind you that there are different words in the New Testament for the word death. One of those words, of course, is nekros. Another word is thanatos. Most of us have heard those words in past days and weeks and months and years. Remember, please, that the Old Testament saints were in a place called paradise. This is also called Abraham's bosom. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible reveals that those individuals were transferred to the third heaven. Most of us have heard this many, many times, but you need to think about it for just a little bit. Remember that the Old Testament saints were in a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were transferred to the third heaven. Then there's a great gulf fixed, the Bible says, and we have the word Hades. Hades is the place where all unbelievers are located since the beginning of time. Perhaps you need to write this into your thinking, write it into a piece of paper somewhere. Understand that the word Hades is the place where all unbelievers are located since the beginning of time. When I thought about that, I put in parentheses, "apparently in the heart of the earth." Then, perhaps, below this we will find a place called Tartarus, which is found in the book of Genesis, or the abyss. This was to mean that the fallen angels in the sea, the abyss, and those unbelieving believers of Hades are brought up and cast then into the lake of fire. So I again put in parentheses, both groups are judged and cast into fire. What's amazing to me, when we continue the verse of Scripture, it says, "And they were judged, every man, every individual, according to their works." We've said this a number of times in recent days, and that is that the unsaved individuals are not going to go to hell because their sins were not bought and paid for. People are going to go to hell because they rejected the plan of God, which is the person of Jesus Christ, who came to the earth as the God-man, went to the cross, and paid sin's penalty. In other words, Jesus Christ was the only one who was qualified to go to the cross and bear the sins of the world. So this verse of Scripture now says they were judged, every individual, according to their works, their deeds, not their sins. So I put down and try to emphasize it over and over again that the only work that will satisfy God for salvation is the work of Jesus Christ. Now I want to be sure that I take this top page off and let you look at it again. They were judged, every man, according to their works, not their sins. The only work then that will satisfy God for salvation is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep that in mind and let me share with you the fact that the Bible has some very important emphases on the subject of death. You may not be all that interested in the subject of death this morning, but I want you to see that there are these categories of death. There's physical death, spiritual death. We're dealing now with a second death, positional death, carnal death, operational death, oppositional death, and sexual death. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these, only to remind you that the one that is presented here is the second death. Second death is separation from God forever. It's important for you to get that settled into your thinking, that the second death that's referred to in the Scripture means separation from God forever. Most of us are aware of the fact that physical death means separation of the body and the soul. Spiritual death is separation from God in time. Positional death is identification with Christ in His death and resurrection. Carnal death means that we're not in harmony and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Operational death means that we fail to produce. Oppositional death means that we're living in opposition to God's plan. And sexual death is the inability to reproduce. Let's go back and look again at number 3. What is the second death? Separation from God forever. I'll put it again on the screen. Death, physical death. Separation of the soul from the body is presented to us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. If these words are small and you cannot read them from where you're sitting, let me just simply give you this information. Physical death is separation of the soul from the body, and described for us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. All of us have experienced over our lifetime individuals whom we've loved who've left this life, and it's separation of the soul from the body. We're aware of the fact that when a person dies, the soul and the spirit goes into the presence of the Lord and the body goes back to the dust of the earth. So physical death, separation of the soul from the body in 1 John 3:14. Such death cannot separate the believer from God. And this is described for us in Romans 8:38 and Romans 8:39. Number 3, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God, based upon His perfect knowledge of all the facts. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that many times we've had loved ones to pass away, and we really prefer that they not pass away at that particular time. And we would not want them to pass away at a particular time. But we have to understand what is being presented to us here. In number 3, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God, based upon His perfect knowledge of all facts, which is so beautiful to know that God understands and knows everything. God knows what's best for us. God knows what's ahead if we continue to live, and He chooses to take us out before we move into those situations. We have to understand that death, physical death, is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based upon His perfect knowledge of all the facts. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. Number four, at times, God will prolong physical life. And this is described in Psalm 102, verse 19 and 20, 23 to 24, Psalm 118, verse 18. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I have a lot of other things to share with you. Number five, a mature believer departs from life under the principle of dying grace. It's beautiful to know that God has a plan for us in relationship to our relationship to Him in salvation. We call positional sanctification. God has a plan in relationship to us while we're living on the earth. We call that experiential sanctification. God has a plan in relationship to our departure from this life. We do not know when we're going to leave this life, but we do know that God knows what's best for us, and we have to depend upon Him to do exactly what He plans to do. But a believer who advances in God's grace is going to die with the principle of dying grace. God gives grace in living. God gives grace in dying. If you'll notice also, number six, Psalm 116, verse 15, applies to the mature believer, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the godly ones." And then number seven, the resurrection is victory over death for all believers. And we will not spend any more time there other than to move this, because you couldn't read it very well from where you were sitting anyway. And let me just share some additional things for you at this particular point. What I've discovered is that God has a plan. And physical death, as we've already mentioned, is separation of the soul from the body, so that the person involved no longer lives on this planet Earth. I could go through a long list here of emphases in relationship to dying, but I want to share with you some things that I believe the Scripture teaches about what happens when you die. As a believer, death means no appointment with judgment in Hebrews 9:27. So number one, death means no appointment with judgment. It is appointed unto a man once to die, but after that the judgment. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So death for the believer says that there is no judgment. Number two, death means to be face to face with the Lord. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Number three, death means the end of pain, Revelation 21, 4. This is a description of a believer in the interim body. We talked about the interim body, and we see it right here in Revelation 21, 4. Number four, death also means eternal inheritance. That's found in 1 Peter 1, 4, and 5. Death means a new home, described in John 14, 1 through 6. Death means realization of eternal life, John 11, 25, and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." We discover also that death means waiting for the resurrection body. Your loved ones who passed away have an interim body at this particular point of time. But one of these days, we're going to be the recipients at the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ. We're going to be the recipients of a resurrection body. Now that brings me, and I'm doing it, trying to do it rapidly, to verse 14. This is the point that caused all the turmoil in the bulletin. You will notice in verse 14 it says, "Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Now, I accidentally put down in my title for the sermon, Second Advent. You know better than that. It's second death. Now, let me ask you, if you know the difference between the importance of God's teaching in relationship to the first advent, the second advent, and emphasis upon the second death. The second death is what is presented in our passage of Scripture right here. So I need to tell you that the Scripture reveals very vividly that death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death, then, into the lake of fire, is an emphasis upon unbelievers. I have a book here that I've enjoyed reading, and it is J. Vernon McGee's. He emphasizes some things about this particular verse of Scripture that I want to read to you. He says, you will notice that in my translation, I've changed death and hell, were cast in the lake of fire, to death and Hades. Well, that's what we have here. Death and hell, Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. Sheol, or Hades, translated hell in the New Testament, is the place of the unseen dead and is divided into two compartments, paradise and the place of torment. This is revealed in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. I've already emphasized this, but let me read it anyway. Paradise was emptied when Christ took the Old Testament believers with him at his ascension. Now you have to listen to that and get it into your thinking. The Scripture says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And of course, this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ, at the time of the resurrection, went to a place of Tartarus, and perhaps you remember that. Christ did two things. He gave gifts to men down here. He also took with him to heaven those Old Testament saints who had died and were in the place called paradise. But the place of torment will be delivered up at the loss of the judgment at the great white throne. He goes on to say, all who stand at this judgment are lost. And we're told that they're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I'm trying to emphasize the second death. The Lord also called it outer darkness. And then Dr. Vernon McGee says, we can believe that this is symbolic of something worse than literal fire or outer darkness. It is eternal separation from God, for death means separation. Death, the great final enemy of man, is finally removed from the scene. Dr. Vernon McGee says, no longer will it be said, in Adam all die, according to 1 Corinthians 15:22. Death is personified in this case, for it is man's great enemy. In the Old Testament we read, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from thine eyes. Hosea 13:14. And then Paul writes, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And I come to that passage which I've seen many, many times. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And all of us are understanding without doubt that that victory comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Vernon McGee goes on to say, Hades, the prison of lost souls, is likewise cast into the lake of fire. The lost are no longer in Hades, but in the lake of fire. This is where Satan, the wild beast, the false prophet, and their minions were consigned. If a man will not accept the life of God, he must accept the only other alternative, eternal association with Satan. God never created man to be put in a place of eternal destruction, but there's no other place for him. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. I take it that it is a place where God never goes, Dr. Vernon McGee says. The second death means eternal and absolute separation from God. And then the last verse that we see in the 20th chapter is verse 15. Look at it, please. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you were here last Wednesday night, you were able to understand again the emphasis that was placed on the magnificent verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20, where it says that there are books and there's the book of life. And I explained to you on Wednesday night, and I take it that all of you understand that when a person is born, every little tiny baby that is born, their name is placed in the book, singular, of life. Listen to me carefully. Hear this out. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, for whom did he die? He died for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so Revelation chapter 20 verse 12 says that the books will be open and the book of life will be open. And whose name not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Which tells us that when a person is born, every little tiny baby born, because God loved the world so much and Christ died for everyone, every person's name is recorded in the book, singular, of life. If a person goes through life and they reject Jesus Christ and they refuse to accept him as their personal Lord and Savior, upon their death, their name will be removed from the book of life, placed into the books, which simply means that they are on their way to a place of eternal destruction, not because of their sins, but because the scripture says of their deeds, their works, which emphasizes the fact that what they're depending upon for salvation, what they're depending upon to get them to heaven will be their good works. Church membership, baptism, a church ritual, whatever it is. And a person does not go to heaven that way. The only way that a person goes to heaven is by accepting God's plan of salvation through the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book, singular, of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I need to stop and tell you that that word written is a magnificent word indeed. I put it on the screen for you to be able to see. It is a perfect tense verb. We'll talk about that more in detail in a few seconds. Passive voice, participle, nominative masculine singular. It is the Greek word grapho, G-R-A-P-H-O. The word written simply means written in the past, with the results continuing to this very present moment. Passive voice emphasizes the subject receives the action, participle, circumstantial, nominative, subject, masculine, singular. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, singular, was cast into the lake of fire. Let's look at that word cast. You'll notice that it is the word ballo. B-A-L-L-O. The Greek word ballo is an interesting one. We think about a ball being thrown when we look at the word ballo, B-A-L-L-O. But you'll notice here that it says, at a point of time, aorist tense, passive voice, subject receives the action of the verb. And then I need to tell you, this is very, very important. We need to see this, that if a person goes through life rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, one of these days they're going to breathe their last breath, the heart's going to beat the last time, and they're going to leave this life unsaved. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. You'll notice that it is the indicative mood. What I'm trying to point out to you, and you can see it, I want you to see it without any question in your mind. You will notice that this word cast is an aorist tense, means at a point of time. Passive voice means these unsaved individuals will be the ones, the recipients of this casting. But the most important thing that I tell you here is that this particular verb in the indicative mood is the mood of reality. There's no guesswork here. There's no wonderment about this. A person who leaves this life without accepting Jesus Christ as Savior is going to go to a place of eternal destruction. Eternal fire. And you'll notice that I put down here, this is a real place. Please understand that this concludes the 20th chapter. And when we come to the next session, we're going to go into the first verses of Revelation chapter 21. Now, you think that's sad where we are right now, and it is. But I'm going to take you from sadness to all of us as believers' joy as we look into the first verses of Revelation chapter 21 when we come back from our break. May we bow for a moment of prayer. We close our service today addressing those who have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. This 15th verse is such a startling verse. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This simply means that if a person lives throughout their lifetime rejecting salvation through Jesus Christ, one day that name that has been recorded there will be scratched out and placed over into the books, plural. And all of those who are in the books will be cast into the lake of fire, not based upon their sin, but based upon what they have been trying to accept as God's plan, which is not God's plan, to take them to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But as many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Right where you are right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do that right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. How wonderful it is to know that when God loved, he loved you. He loved all mankind, men, women, boys, and girls. And when Jesus Christ was willing to leave glory and come to the earth to go to the cross, he did that for you and me. He will save you if you'll trust him. Will you do it now? Thank you, Father, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Close enough to
And why did it have to be a heavy cross he was made to bear? And why did they nail his feet and hands? Steal every